But just the starting time tomorrow will be 9:30, not 9 o'clock, so that members just are aware. Friday afternoon, I know some of the members got logistical problems, but I just want to make an appeal on members in terms of the 201. Tomorrow afternoon, a very important exercise that we will do, and also next week, but if members may be available, it will be appreciated. Maybe just to indicate before we start, I think in terms of the police yesterday, and we will talk on that regarding the recommendations, I mean, the big issues are detective services, I think, is a big issue. Also, the tackling of serious crimes. That is a major issue, also the building environment. So there's a lot of issues, but again, if members are very much welcome to deal with that, and of course the performance information in visible policing. But from an audit perspective, if you look at the other entities that we're going to deal with today, not too bad. Of course, we have the private interactions with the AG, and of course there's a special focus in this year's annual report hearings on the AG's report, and there is some serious challenges, I think, that we're going to be confronted with today, and we will have to come with firm resolutions to ensure that the entities are getting back to green, because that's really the aim. And one of the entities I'm very concerned about, we'll speak about that later, and we will have to get clear commitments from the leadership team. Others, there are issues that has been reoccurring in terms of the AG's report, and we need to address that, because we can't have reoccurring findings for the second and third year, and we have plans that address it, and I think also in some instances, and the committee will have to consider it, even have to say that we'll have to have a change of staff at the top level here. But we will go into that as we go along today. So that is where we're going to go. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Tim Barney, who's our anchor researcher on IFED, to address us. Welcome.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues. Firstly, I would like to apologize to honorable members because I've sort of deviated from the normal custom of presenting a PowerPoint presentation. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to really speak to the documentation that was circulated to honorable members, and I'll just start by teasing out some of the key issues that I think the committee should really focus on in the performance environment of the NTC. But firstly, I think it is important that the hearings on the annual report ensures the following. It shows that the IPED provides high quality services, economical in nature, services that are efficiently and effectively. It is important that the committee ensures that the services that are rendered by IPED are really in line with the constitutional imperatives, the constitutional mandate of the entity, the strategic plans, and the policy mandate as enunciated in the NDP, the National Development Plan. It is also important that, you know, the measures are in place to improve the directorate's future performance. It is my humble opinion that the NDP is really better positioned, you know, to carry the aspirations, the hopes of South Africans. I do believe that the NDP is having some few levers to pull, you know, in order to harness, you know, social dynamism around issues of police accountability into desirable social outcomes. So I do believe that the NTC is better positioned to do that. It is better positioned to create an environment where South Africans feel and live in a safe environment. Basically, what I'm going to do now just goes through to the organizational overview during the reporting period, which is 2014-2015 period. Members will know that the reporting period marks the third financial year in which the entity operated under its new mandate as set out by the IPA Act. As such, during the reporting period, the Directorate was still engaged in really realignment of its systems and processes to the new mandate. This is so partly because previously there was a discernible or the source of misalignment when it comes to the budgetary processes, the organizational structure, and all other systems. So during the reporting period, the entity really focused on such issues. This meant that the Directorate's available budget did not talk to the demands of the job the former ICD was really doing. And for instance, if you look at the number of posts as in research during the establishment of the ICD, there were around 575 posts that were earmarked for the Directorate. But at the moment, the Directorate is having 393 posts, far below the research 535 posts. And this really put a lot of pressure, as indicated in the annual report, on the capacity of the entity to really deliver on its legislative mandate. Also, during the previous financial year, it was highlighted in the annual report that there was a leadership vacuum for most of the year until 9 provincial heads, 3 program managers, and chief director for investigation, the information management, were appointed. This issue of leadership vacuum really has serious implications on the ability of the entity to really deliver. But I think it has since been addressed by appointment of such people and filling the vacancies. In order to capacitate and strengthen the oversight functions of the Directorate and ensure that it meets its expectations and delivers on its legislative mandate, the National Specialized Investigative Team was established during the reporting period in order to sort of augment the capacity of the Directorate. For the medium term, the entity identified a number of strategic priorities, and these include the filling of all senior management positions, the establishment of the consultative forum, establishment of the integrity management and protection unit, training capacity building of investigators, development of personal performance management systems, obtaining an unqualified audit opinion. Those are sort of the medium-term strategic priorities that the entity indicated in its APP. However, there were a number of challenges in the performance and organizational environment during the reporting period. And these really evolved around the issue of human capacity deficiencies and huge workload. Both the Deputy Minister and the Executive Director of IPEX acknowledged this in the annual report, that the capacity remains a challenge for the entity. In some instances, this has resulted to some performance targets not to be met in some core functional areas. The current number of posts that is currently at 393 in the Directorate is far lesser than the 535 as I've alluded to earlier on. Also, other challenge was around the issue of vacancy rate. The vacancy rate at key and strategic level was high during the reporting period. This high vacancy rate had a negative impact on performance, as you will see later on that some of the targets were not met. Another challenge around the issue of lack of resources and investigative equipment to implement the entity's mandate. The IPEX should ideally have developed its own capacity to fully investigate cases, including the technical, forensic, and ballistic side of investigations. However, due to limited resources, the IPEX relies on the SEPs for this expertise. And this is a really serious issue because, to some extent, the independence of the entity can really be compromised, and this issue needs to be really, you know, addressed as a matter of agency to see how then we can start capacitating, building that capacity that is really required. Another challenge that was highlighted during the reporting period was around supply chain challenges. Although the supply chain management unit was capacitated during the reporting period, lack of skills was identified as a challenge that requires urgent attention. It was identified that the majority of SSM officials were not trained on various SCM processes, and that affected the Directorate's procurement processes. And this really talks to issues around value for money, you know, whether the services that are rendered are efficient and effective. So I think that environment needs to be sort of strengthened as well, so that to ensure that the ability of the directorate to deliver needs mandate is not really compromised. Another challenge was around the issue of limited funding. And due to limited funding, the directorate was unable to implement some of its planned projects, such as the Information Communication Technology Plan, which was intended to improve the ICT infrastructure. I think this plan has really been, you know, like, when it comes to its operationalization, there's been some challenges, because I recall even in the previous financial year, there was a problem in terms of operationalizing this ICT plan, and that really needs serious attention. District offices and distances, this is the key challenge that the IPED encountered during the reporting period. The IPED have 9 provincial offices and smaller district offices, which is not adequate for the directorate's needs. The situation makes it difficult to reach all complaints and scenes of alleged police criminality. Vast distances make it difficult to respond swiftly to crime scenes. And in some provinces, it is nearly impossible to preserve the integrity of crime scenes due to long distances traveled by IPT investigators. I do believe that the executive director should really suggest possible innovative ways in which to mitigate the above-mentioned challenges. There are some of them, they've been recurrent, they've been happening for some time now. So I think really need to sort of change perhaps the reasoning of the way you address these challenges and come up with innovative ways of addressing them. And I do believe that the directory should explain the strategies it has devised to address high vacancy rates. Equally so, the directory should explain when the supply chain management officials will be fully trained on all SSM processes and systems. Looking at the financial performance environment, during the 2014 budgetary review and recommendation report, the committee identified a number of challenges, and to that end, sort of provided a number of recommendations. And some of these are really around the issue of underspending of budget in the directorate. The committee in particular noted serious concerns about the underspending of the budget, department's budget by 23.9 million. That was in the previous financial year. A great concern was the fact that the financial health of IPG did not seem to be improving, and the committee wanted to know what the root causes of the underspending were. Another challenge or another recommendation that the committee made was around the issue of skills gap. The committee noted the fact that there were material omissions from the annual financial statements, which showed that there were skills gaps in the directorate. There was also a lack of capacity within the financial management section. Another concern that was raised by the committee was around the issue of contingent liabilities, more especially in relation to the lease agreement between the K&E Sons Investment Company. The committee also raised some concerns in the report around the issue of irregular expenditure. The committee noted its concerns about the irregular expenditure, especially in view of the fact that a large portion is related to unpaid traffic fines of staff members. This was also picked up by the AG, and the committee really expresses discomfort with this. Likewise, on the issue of vacancies, the committee raised some serious concerns around the issue of the vacancy rate and also on the capacity of the internal audit unit and also on the memorandum of understanding with the Department of Public Works. So, and also community interactions. These are some of the concerns and recommendations that the committee really highlighted during our processes. More especially around the issue of service delivery improvement plan, the committee noted that the IPED is developing its expansion plan and its service delivery plan, and that should really be shared with the committee to see where the committee can really advise the directorate moving forward. As well, on the issue of the ICT plan, the committee was concerned about the finalization of the ICT plan. Now I'll just go to the appropriate statement for the 2014 appropriation statement for the 2014-15 financial year. In other words, the allocation of the of the directorate to see how it has performed vis-à-vis the allocation and the expenditure. The IPES during the reporting period received a final appropriation of 234.7 million. And this was much higher when compared to the previous financial year when the institute received 216.9 million. During the adjustment period, the main appropriation of the directorate was not adjusted. In other words, it remained the same. It didn't move upwards or downwards. Thus, the total adjustment appropriation remained the same as the final or main appropriation for the reporting period. However, the directorate made some shifts, you know, within program or between program. It made some behind end of an amount of 32,000 that was approved by the acting executive director for program 3, which is legal services in the environment or in the economic classification or compensation of employees. But at the end of the third quarter of the current reporting period, spending in the directorate was 135 million or 57.5% of the available budget of 234.7 million. The directorate had projected to spend 152 million, thus resulting in deviation of 17.7 million between planned and actual expenditure. So you can see that there was really under expenditure there. However, there were two main concerns that we highlighted on the expenditure trends or patterns at the end of the third quarter. These were around the issue of lower spending, overall lower than projected expenditure across all four programs. And this has been happening for some time now within the directorate, because if you look at the trajectory or you look at the trends, the third quarter expenditure is always having some under expenditure problems, and this was the same during the reporting period. There was also the issue of high vacancy rates. The high vacancies within the investigation and information management program, especially for investigators, and this is really concerning because this is talks to the core function of the directorate. According to the annual report, the directorate did not incur unauthorized expenditure during the reporting period. Now I'll just go quickly to the findings of the Auditor General. I think the directorate should be really commended for achieving the unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General. However, the AG highlighted a number of issues, more especially around the issue of financial statements of the directorate submitted for auditing, which were not initially prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework. And the Auditor General also raised some material issues, more especially around material misstatements of disclosure items identified by the auditors in the submitted financial statement. The Auditor General also raised some issues around the internal audit function of the IPIDs. The AG states that the function did not evaluate the reliability, integrity of financial and operational information as required by the Treasury regulations. And in terms of leadership, the report states that the lack of effective oversight by management with regard to processes that ensure compliance with laws and accuracy and completeness of financial information reported. In terms of financial and performance management, the report indicates that the management did not have adequate processes in place to ensure the accuracy of financial information reported. And then on the issue of investigation, the matter regarding the lease contract of the City Forum building from prior year is still under investigation by the Special Investigative Unit. And I think really perhaps the committee might need to engage with the directorate to ensure that this issue really is finalized. And then I think I will just go to, I will go straight to, in terms of the predetermined target, without it explaining itself, the program. In terms of program one, which is administration, the targets that were set for this program were 12. The directorate achieved 9 out of 12 of its set targets, and that really translates to the percentage of around 75%. In terms of expenditure, the program spent 99.9% of its allocated budget. And then in terms of the strategic objectives for this program, the program said that in its annual performance plan that it's going to focus on public awareness campaigns, performance management systems, the capacity building, human resource management plan, and the realignment of organizational functions and structures. When linking performance with the budget, what is really discernible is that the program spending patterns reflect the territory.
Only 7 minutes.
Oh, 7 minutes, okay. I will just quickly talk to the performance in relation to other programs. And then when it comes to investigation and information management, the program set a target of 16 predetermined targets and it only achieved 2. That is really a poor performance. The success rate really translated to 12.5%, and the expenditure was 100%. And when you look at that, there's really a disjuncture between, you know, the budget that was allocated to this program and the real expenditure. And that really talks to the issue of poor, you know, financial planning. I don't know, but really this program didn't perform well. In terms of program three. Program 3, which is legal services, it set 10 targets, but it only achieved 3, and that really translated to 30%. In terms of expenditure, it was 61%. Same with the previous program 2. You will see that there is a trend of under expenditure in this program and underperformance, and that really needs to be addressed. And then in terms of program 4, which is compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, this program set 7 targets and it only achieved 5. And the success rate was really 71.4%, and the expenditure in this program was 95.8%. Likewise, you know, there is a discernible disjunction between planned targets or predetermined targets and the actual expenditure. And really, this needs to be addressed because this has been ongoing for some time now in the directorate. In conclusion, Chair, the directorate has really been struggling with persistent underperformance and underspending since its inception, more especially the inception of the new mandate through the IPS Act of 2011. This is largely due to under-resourcing of the directorate, especially in terms of human capital. IPED was unable to fill key vacancies, which created severe managerial problems that will take some time to be corrected. The appointment of acting executive director and provincial heads will really no doubt have a stabilizing effect on the directorate in the future. It will sort of provide that semblance of stability that is required to carry the directorate forward. The role that the IPED plays in professionalizing the FEPS and MPF should not be underestimated. It forms one of the keys within the oversight architecture of the FEPS and MPF. And as I said in the beginning, I do believe that really the directorate is really positioned, better positioned to carry the aspirations and hopes of South Africans in realization of the country's developmental agenda. I do believe that the directorate does have some levers, few levers to pull, and it also has some, you know, capacities internally that it can really harness. I do believe that the directorate really should be given the all the support that is needed, because I do believe that is having an indispensable role to play in realizing not only the security cluster's goals and targets, but also the country's broader developmental agenda.
Thank you very much, Thembani, for that comprehensive report. We appreciate that. Any questions from members to Thembani before we go to the briefing private? Nothing. Thank you. Thank you, Thembani. That was very comprehensive. Without further ado, we're going to invite the acting ED to address us, and if you also can maybe introduce the delegation, but maybe I first must go to our members and introduce them. I'll go first to the ladies.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Angie Muliwazi. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Pindile Mola, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm Nadia Lebohane, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Sarbanani, the name is Akele Mbele, member of the committee.
Goedemorgen, ek is Pieter Groenewald.
Thank you very much. Executive Director, over to you.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Israel Kamanyane, the Acting Executive Director of the ITIS. Joined by Mayor Marianne Morwashi, Chief Director of Legal Services, is next to me. Next to her, we've got Ntate Patrick Seteri, is the acting CFO. CFO, she's on study leave. Next to Ntate Seteri, we have Ntate Vincent Sebanyoni, representing Program 1, Administration Corporate Services. Mayor Netianda, the Chief Director Admin, she's on suspension. And next to Ntate Sebanyoni, we do have Ntate Khomu, representing Program 2, Investigations. That was headed by Ntate Sesoko, who's on suspension. And next to Ntate Khomu, we do have Mayor Linda Lua Donjanduka, she's our new Director Strategy. Then we have Mayor Molope, she's the Chief Director Stakeholder Program 4. Then next to myself, we do have Dr. Chris Mahobotiti, he's our new PLO. Without any waste of time, Chairperson and honorable members, I will start with the outline of our presentation there. And it covers the Acting Executive Director's overview, then followed by IPIT's annual financial statement 2014-15. Then overview of 2014-15 financial performance. 3.1, we have administration, then followed by investigations and information management, followed by legal services. Lastly, compliance, monitoring, and stakeholder management. Then I will come back with regards to the closing remarks by the acting executive director, which is myself. On the third slide, next slide, starting with the overview, the financial performance. We received as the department unqualified audit opinion, and we have spent the 99% budget of the department for the financial year 2014-15. On non-financial performance, the reported overall performance is not satisfactory. One of the contributing factors is our focus on measuring efficiency over effectiveness, and a slight improvement in overall achievement of targets from 27 in 2013-14 to 44%. key highlights include the realignment of the organizational functions and structure, the provision of oral legal advice to investigators during and after investigations, the vigorous stakeholder engagement. On the next slide, the program two performance presents two perspectives there. Under efficiency and effectiveness, we deal with efficiency. We are saying those are the cases that were completed within the 90 days. With that particular clause is evident in the indicators and targets resulting in underperformance. The effectiveness is evident in the higher percentages associated with the achievement of some of the targets at the end of the financial year, but not necessarily within 90 days. So those are the targets or cases that were completed after 90 days. And based on that, we have revisited the issue of the 90 days that in our strat plan for this financial year and APP, we don't have that target of completion within 90 days. The comparative analysis of case management indicates an increase in overall case intake of 2% from 5,745 during 2013-14 to 5,879 for the reporting period. A decline in completion of cases from 58% in the 2013-14 to 48% in under the reporting period of 2014-15. A decrease in criminal convictions of 30% from 83 during 2013-14 to 58% during the reporting period. An increase in disciplinary convictions from 45% or 45% from 138 during 2013-14 to 200 for the period under review. Some of the notable and high-profile cases that I zoom in quickly that we dealt with during the period under review is the investigations of the rendition case, which the case is still with the NDPP for decision. The reinvestigations of the conveyance matter that we have sent to the NDPP to review. That particular decision, which was taken by the provincial KZN DPP, which the case is still with the NDPP for review. The investigations of the case against the National Commissioner for the Teaching of the Provincial Western Cape Provincial Commissioner, which was sent to the NDPP and he declined for prosecutions, and we are and recommended that the departmental steps must be taken in respect of that particular case. The Mpumalanga Pilgrims Rest investigations, which the outcome was convicted on three counts and sentenced to 15 years imprisonment, the accused, and the Free State Rambo Squad investigations, which the matter has been remanded to the 16 and 17 November 2015 for further trial. Lastly, the implications of the Falun Commission's recommendations on IPIT mandates, because there is specific findings that deals with the IPIT with regards to the outstanding investigations of those particular 34 deaths of the minors there. Honorable members will remember that we were busy with federal investigations and we were instructed to seized to investigate that particular matter as and when the Falun Commission started. Then we informed that we will take over after the findings and the recommendations of the Falun Commission, and that's what is also included in the findings of the Falun, that we must finalize those investigations. The team has been assembled and they have started already with the investigations. IP is one of them with four advocates from the NDPP, and the two senior staff members from the Hawks, and the four ballistic experts as well as crime scene reconstruction experts from the forensic science laboratory. So we have beefed up that particular team with regards to all the experts as per the recommendations of the Falam Commission. Staffing and the resourcing of the IPIT is still a challenge there as per the findings or the recommendations from the Falam Commission. But we just pray and hope that the expansion strategy, which has been conversed with this portfolio committee as well as the Minister's Office and Treasury and the DPSA, will assist us in with regards to making sure that we establish or we do have footprints in all the district offices across the country. I will now hand over to Mr. Patrick Setedi, the Acting Chief Financial Officer, to deal with the issues of the annual financial statement. Thanks.
Thanks, TNAD. Good morning, Chairperson and the members. As already indicated, my name is Patrick Setedi. I'm acting on behalf of the CFO. I'm going to take a member through the financial performance of the organization. Firstly, the basis of the our financial statement is on the modified cash standard as prescribed by National Treasury. The reliability of the information that was presented through the financial statement was also on the basis of the standards and hence the opinion. The key components of the AFS, our financial statement consists of the financial performance, financial position, cash flow management, appropriation statement, as well as the note to support the financials. The next slide, Chairperson and the members, is on the performance, financial performance information. When you looked into our financial performance, you will notice that the department is having an appropriation of 234 million with the own revenue of 706. This is immaterial as compared to other departments. The expenditure for the financial year under review is totaling to 232 million, which results into 2.3 million deficit. In terms of the percentages, it's 1% underspending. The next slide, Chairperson and the members, is your statement of financial positions, which highlights the total assets of the organization as well as the liability. The total assets is amounting to 1.5, as well as the liability, which balance to that 1.5. The cash flow statement, which is the next slide, representing the inflow and the outflow of the organizations. The following slide is your appropriation statement. Chairperson and the members, the appropriation statement reflects the budget appropriated for the organizations in programs, program 1, program 2, program 3, as well as program 4. Out of the budget of 234 million, as indicated here, 78 million was appropriated to program 1. 144 million was appropriated to program 2 as the main core program. 5.3 million was appropriated to legal services, as well as 3.5 million, which was appropriated to program 4. The spending relating to program 1 was 99.9%, which translates to 78 million of the budget. Program 2, 100%, which translates to 147 million as appropriated. Program 3, 61%, which translates in monetary value to 3.2 million. program 4, 95% in monetary value, 3.4 million. As indicated, 99% of the budget was utilized for the year under review. The next slide, honorable members, will be on the appropriate statement breakdown, economic classification. Your compensation of employees was initially given 137 million in order to capacitate the organization. And there was a shifting of funds which was done. As members will notice that during the adjustment budget, there was no any additional money that was given to the organizations. And the organization has to do a review by reprioritizing the activities within the allocated funds. So as a result, there was that kind of exercise that was performed during that particular period, where an amount of 15 million was shifted from the compensation of employees. And goods and services, there was an amount that was increased for 3.3 million. Transfer payments, there was an amount of 131,000 that was increased to the initial allocation. Machinery and equipment, there was an increased amount of 11 million, mainly from your compensation of employees. The details will be provided in the next slide. In terms of the overall spending trends of the organization and honorable members, the overall performance of the period ending the 31st of March 2015 was 99% as indicated, which is an improve as compared to the prior year of 2013-14, which was 89%. In total, as reported, the department reported 1% underspending, mainly in program 3, legal services, due to delay in filling of the funded vacancies, which includes the program managers. However, the positions have since been filled. 62% of the total allocated budget was allocated in Program 2, Investigation and Information Management, and this is the department's effort to ensure that the resources are redirected to the core activities, which is Program 2. Chairperson, in support of the shifting of funds that were performed during the adjustment time of the financial year under review, there was an expenditure in relation to the bulk procurement of the investigative equipment. And we are saying although the bulk of the expenditure was reported in the last quarter of the financial year under review, intervention by management to improve the spending trends has been a positive contribution on the overall spending patterns of the programs, because based on the earlier report that was presented, there was a slow spending in various programs, and hence the intervention by management of the organization in order to improve the spending trend. The bulk procurement that was planned mainly to address the unavailability of investigative equipment, which in some cases affected the work of the investigators, was successfully implemented, even though it was implemented at the last quarter of the financial year, but the plan was achieved. The department is certain that the procurement of machinery and equipment has been addressed adequately, hence the current financial year, which is 15-16, the machinery and equipment was not given a budget, since most of the items were controlled in the previous financial year, which is the year under review. Various mechanisms, including spending plans with target dates, were effectively implemented subsequent to the appointment of the key responsibility managers, including 9 provincial heads. Honorable members and chairperson will notice that when we started the financial year, most of the provinces were still led by the acting heads. And hence, after the appointment of the provincial head, management of the organization has to come around the table and come up with the way in which the expenditure will be improved for the year under review, and that support the late procurement of some of the activities related to the investigation. The process of filling the mentioned key positions was concluded in the middle of the financial year, and hence the full implementation, as I've indicated, including the bulk procurement, happened late. Chairperson, with regards to the key disclosure areas on the AFF, the environment was performed to the tune of 32,000. This was mainly to address the personal linking codes in Program 4. Unauthorized expenditure, as earlier indicated, the chairperson, the organization did not incur any unauthorized expenditure in the year under review. The amount as reflected in our annual report is basically an entire financial year, an amount which we are currently engaging National Treasury in order to see how the amount can be authorized and clear in our books. Irregular expenditure, Chairperson, an amount of 4,200 was reported for the year under review, mainly due to the use of the prohibited service provider. I think two service providers were utilized by the organizations, only to find that they were restricted by National Treasury. However, the repair service providers have since been removed from the directorate supply Saturday to avoid the recurrence. In terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the directorate in the financial year under review incurred an amount of 2,800, mainly due to the interest that was charged on the telecom monthly payments based on the delay while the internal shifting of funds were done. There was also an overpayment identified due to the miscalculation of VAT on the supplier, on one of the supplier, but the amount was about, it was an immaterial amount of about 1,000 rand. The identified amounts were reported in the Directorate Fruitless and Wasteful Expenditure Register for further internal investigation in order to determine the cause and the required actions. Chairperson, the following slide is mainly on the events reported after events after reporting date. The following non-adjustment subsequent events occurred after the reporting date of the 31st March. The first one was the various policies that were approved by the acting executive director after his appointment. They are currently in place, and there's a compliance to such. The second one, Chairperson, was the appointment of program managers, the program 4, as well as program 3. The last one, Chairperson, was the professional suspension of some of the our managers. Chairperson, key issues observed from the audit general's office. As indicated, the opinion was unqualified, which confirms that all the financial statements were fairly presented. The reliability, Chairperson, the AG did not identify any material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information. However, as also indicated earlier on, Chairperson, there were some internal control and non-compliance matters which were reported. Firstly, the lack of independent review of AFS by internal audit. Secondly, the material adjustment to financial statements. Lastly, the 30 days payment of invoices. These are key issues, Chairperson, and they need the serious intervention. While the department agrees that and confirms the unqualified audit opinion, Chairperson, there's a concern on the matters of emphasis which were raised by Auditor General, the three matters that I've indicated. And the department also agrees that it's a reoccurrence. So when you looked into the same issues from 2013-14 financial year, Chairperson and the honorable members will agree that the issues are the same. And the opinion basically confirms that our efforts to address the reported matters were not enough. Hence, the implementation of the action plan was enforced in the current financial year in order to improve on all the internal systems that were implemented by organization in the previous financial year.
Oh, well, you see, I've got huge problems with 2021. But we'll come to it. I mean, the AG actually says it's a skills deficit. It's not about systems. It's a skills deficit within the department, because it's about ensuring that there's no material mistakes with the annual financial statement. So I think also what you offer here as action plans is really insufficient for the committee's purpose. But we come to that. But I just want to note it at this stage, because we will, from our side, that will be one of the recommendations, that we will have to have monthly action plans submitted to the committee. Because the problem is, this is a third occurrence of the same issues. And in terms of the AG's interaction as well, there's no improvement. So it's not so much systems, but the skills issue. And I mean, we'll have to get the ED also, see his comments maybe after the presentation. Are we going to bring in consultants? Are we going to get specialized skills? Are we going to ask National Treasury to assist? But we can't have a situation in this portfolio under police that we have statements that must be rectified for the third year in a row. We're not going to accept this as a committee, so we will have to have clear steps to ensure, or there should be also further training for the relevant post holders. But I just want to put that clearly on the table, because it's a big concern for us if we look at the four departments that we oversee. But you can continue.
Thanks, Chairperson, and I fully, Chairperson, agree with you. Last year when we were here, I think the main issue was about the skills. And as I've earlier indicated, and perhaps maybe at some stage when the program 1 presents, they will also provide a report in terms of the intervention as far as the training is concerned. Because what happened is that majority of our officials, particularly in the finance environment, have been provided with the required skills as recommended last year by Ulta General, but perhaps maybe the impact of that has not yet shown as supposed to. But again, you looked into other independent review of the information that is presented by those particular people, and maybe perhaps we'll have to give details as far as how we have tried to address that. Chairperson, going back to the presentation, the intervention that has been now provided, the appointment of the internal audit manager, she started on the 5th of March, and hence one of the issues that was raised by AG was the lack of capacity in this particular unit, because they were unable to perform some of their responsibilities in terms of the assurance, providing the acting accounting officer with the assurance on the financial statement. The person has been appointed. She has already started with the action plan on the apps in order to address those issues. Secondly, the development of suppliers. Chairperson, you'll notice that one of the concerns, and I know the members also raised a serious concern on the delay on payments to service providers. Chairperson, due to the fact that we have provinces, we experience a problem with regard to the delay in payment of the invoices, particularly when some of the invoices are forwarded to national office. So we have since taken a decision as an organization that we'll have to centralize the invoicing so that we can be able to provide a better management and control. And that has been adopted at our last strategic review session. And we are currently at the implementation stage. From next month, we'll then try to make sure that all the invoices are paid as centrally as national office, and there will be people who will be focusing on the payments only, other than any other things. Full implementation of the system generating orders. Chairperson, one of the challenges that was raised by AG as far as material adjustments of S is concerned was as a result of our way of issuing orders. We have two systems. We are generating orders on the system. We are also generating manual orders. Now we realize that there was the inconsistency in terms of the providing of the information, particularly the discrepancy that was identified by AG on the manual orders, because not full information was provided And we are saying as an organization that we need to go away with issuing of manual orders. Orders should only be generated systematically so that we are able to detect each and every order that has been placed. And it's one of the issues that we discussed with AG. However, it also confirms the earlier statement of incapacity in the supply chain, because this is the information that is submitted by supply chain. And we are saying until such time as supply chain has been addressed, we will still have a problem of this nature. Chairperson, one of the intervention members, honorable members will recall that last year when we were here, one of the issues that was raised as a concern was our spending. And Chairperson, we have since made an arrangement to present.
You know, we don't want the action plans now. Really, we want the annual report, straightforward. If there's issues that you want to bring our attention, fine, but we don't want now that. We want the annual report as is. If in the responses you want to deal with action plans, we can deal with it, but let's go to the annual report. Thank you.
Thanks, Jefferson. That was the last slide. I will then hand over to Program 1 Manager.
Good morning, Chairperson, and the honorable members. My name is Vincent Sivagnoni, representing Program 1. In terms of the annual report, or in terms of information for the 2014-2015 financial year, the indicators are as follows. The number of media segments which are released annually, in terms of the actual achievement for the 2013-2014 financial year, there were 59. In terms of the planned target for the 2014-2015, there were 40. And the actual achievement was 42. So basically, the target was exceeded in terms of this indicator. The number of responses to media inquiries released annually. The actual achievement for the 2013-2014 is 743. The planned target for 2014-2015 was 120. And the actual target was 353. The target was exceeded with 233 media responses. The number of performance monitoring and evaluation reports submitted to ensure attainment of strategic objectives. The actual achievement for 2013-2014 was 13. The planned target for 14 and 15 was 13. And the actual achievement was 14. Basically, the target was exceeded with 1. The number of financial and strategic reports submitted for reporting. The actual achievement for 2013-2014 was 15. The planned target for 14 and 15 was 22. And the actual achievement was 22. Basically, the target was achieved. The percentage of the vacancy rate, the actual achievement for 2013-14 was 12, and the target is the vacancy rate should be below 10%. So our actual achievement for 14 and 15 was 18% of basically means that we underperformed to reach this target with 8%. In terms of the percentage of senior management, the percentage of female at senior management positions, the actual achievement for 2014 was 36. The planned target is basically 50%, and we only managed to reach 45.4%. So basically, the target was not achieved with a difference of 4.5%. The percentage in terms of staff complement consisting of people living with disabilities. The actual achievement for 2014 was 0.86%. The planned target for 14 and 15 is basically 2%. And what we could actually achieve was 1.5%. So we still have a deficit of minus 0.5%. So the target was basically not achieved. The approval of the retention policy. The actual achievement for 13 and 14, this indicator was not there by then. But in terms of the planned target for 14 and 15, we had one, which we actually achieved. We managed to have an approved retention policy, and the target was basically achieved. To develop an ICT plan, the actual achievement for 13 and 14 is the plan was developed but not yet approved. In terms of the planned target, was to basically approve the ICT plan. And the target was achieved because we managed to have a plan approved. Produce ICT governance quarterly report. The actual achievement for 13 and 14, the indicator was not there by then, but for the planned target was to have 4 quarterly reports, and the actual achievement was 4 quarterly reports were produced, and the target was basically achieved. the number of reviews of organizational structure. Actual achievement is one. The plan target for 14 and 15 is one. And the target was achieved because we managed to have a quota and produce an operational structure for the particular financial year. The number of environmental assessments conducted, it is basically a new indicator. It was not there for 14, for 13 and 14. But in terms of the 14 and 15 financial year, we're supposed to have 10, and we managed to achieve that 10. So the target was basically approved or achieved. So strategies to overcome areas of underperformance was one, the development of the recruitment plan to address the problem of high vacancy rates with the aim of keeping it below 10%. And also future plans include the implementation of the approved research strategy and the career management strategy. Also, the implementation of the employment equity plan for gender equity and the representation of people with disabilities in line with the statutory requirements. I'd like to thank the honorable members and hand over to Mr. Homo for program two.
Thank you, Mr. Sivignoli. Mr. Homo, you can go ahead. Thank you.
My name is Joe Homo. I'm representing Program 2 Education and Information Management Report. Performance information for 2014-2015. Percentage of cases allocated within 72 hours of receipt. In the previous year, the actual achievement for 2014 was 87%. The plan target for 2014-2015 was 98% of cases received. Actual achievements for 2014-2015 was 73%. Deviation from the plan target was minus 25%. The target in this line was not met. Number of statistical reports generated on the number of and type of cases investigated. Recommendation made and the outcome thereof was 18. Plan target for 2014-15, 18. Actual achievement for 2014-15, 18, and the target was met. Percentage of investigations of death in police custody compared within 90 days. For 2013-2015, 50%. 2014-2015, 65%. Actual achievement for 2014-2015, 40%, with a deviation of 25%. On the next slide, percentage of investigations of death as a result of police action compared with 1998. For 2013-2014, there was a 31%. Plan target for 14-15, 65%. Action achievement for 14-15, 22%. There's a deviation of minus 43%. Percentage of investigations of discharge of an official firearms by a police officer completed within 90 days. 2013-2014, 24%. Plan target for 14-15, 55%. Actual achievement for 14-15, 25%, a deviation of minus 30%. The next slide, the percentage of investigations of rape by police officers compiled within 90 days. For 2013-2014, we had 47%.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to know, in some columns you say target met, target not met, but in others you don't indicate that. What is the reason for that?
Okay, sir, it was an oversight. Where there are deviations, the targets was not met. Minus, the targets were not met at all. Sorry for that.
Yeah, no, but we must just keep it confidential. Thank you.
No, thanks, sir. Thanks, sir. Sorry, let me continue. Percentage of investigations of raped by police officer for 5 minutes in 90 days. For 2013-2015, we had 47%. For the planned targets for 14 and 15, there were 60%. Sexual achievement for 2014-2015, 86%, with a deviation of 24%. A total of 54% cases were completed. And the target was not met. The target was not met. Percentage of investigations of rape while in police custody within 90 days. In 2013, we had 83%. Planned targets for 2014-2015, 60%. Sexual achievement for 2014-2015, 65%. Deviation planned from the planned 5%. The target was exceeded by 5%. Percentage of investigation of torture completed within 90 days. In 2013-2014, it was 8%. Planned target for 2014-15, 50%. Sexual achievement for 2014-15, 18%. There's a deviation of 32%, so the target was not met. Percentage investigation of assault completed within 90 days. In 2013-2014, 26%. 2014-2015, 60%. Sexual achievement for 2014-15, 20%. There's a deviation of 30%. That means the target was not met. Percentage of investigation of corruption confined within 90 days. In financial year 2013-14, there was a percentage of 19%. Planned target for 2014-15, 35%, 65%. Sexual achievement for 2014-15, 16%. The deviation from planned target was 89%. Indicated that it was met. Percentage of investigations of other criminal and misconduct might have referred to in section 28.1H and section 35.1B of the IP Act. There was no indicator in 2014. In 2014-2015, the percentage was 55. Actual achievement for 2014-15 was 12%. Deviation from the planned target was minus 43, so the target was not met. Number of cases of systemic corruption identified for possible investigation approved per year. 12 for 2013-2014, 18 for 2014-2015. Actual achievement for 2014-15 was 3, a deviation of 15%, so the target was not met. The next slide, percentage of approved systemic corruption investigation completed within 12 months. 2013-2014, 8%. The planned target for 2014-15, 20%. Actual achievement for 2014-15, 14%. There was a deviation of 6%, so the target was not met. Percentage annual reduction of backlog of investigation, including cases of systemic corruption. In 2013-2014, there was a 52%. Planned targets for 2014-15, 60%. Sexual achievement for 2014-15, 16%, with a deviation of 84%, which means the target was not met. Disciplinary recommendations reported referred to SACS and MPS within 90 days. In 2013-2014, the percentage was 88. The planned target for 2014-15, 100%. Sexual achievement for 2014-15, 87%, with a deviation of 13%, so the target was not met. Criminal recommendations report referred to the NPA within 30 days of completion. For the actual achievement for 2013-14, about 86%, claims target for 14-15, 100%, sexual assessment for 14-15 was 92%, deviation was 6%, the target was not met. Chairperson, we made some notes referring to that about that the most important reason for non-achievement of target are still the same problem of lack of capacity and long distances in remote and vast provinces, more so that which has got most of rural areas. We as a government also try to overcome this underperformance. There's an AD directive number 10 of 2014 that was issued to deal with the methods of non-performance, where now each investigator should, through his or a provincial head, report on their own performances and reasons why they did not perform and reasons why what is that they would implement to improve this situation. It's also from the beginning of this month, we have implemented a turnaround strategy that is initially dealing with cases of underperformance, particularly in cases of backlog. As we speak, we've got teams of investigators in Eastern Cape and Gauteng respectively. They'll be there for 2 months, and then the next 2 months, November, December, they will be in KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape twice.
Yeah, I know we'll come to that. You know, but my view is, if the Hawks can meet its targets, you must be able to do it. That's the bottom line. You have the budget. But let's go to the other issues. Thank you.
Okay, and I thank you, sir. I can now pass to you, sir.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the honorable members. I'll provide a high-level summary of the statistical information as it relates to cases reflected in Program 2. The purpose of the summary is to just indicate to the members that in our annual performance plan, most indicators in Program 2, they reflect a measure of efficiency. And if honorable members look at the column for comments, you will see that in that column we've also reflected our performance in terms of effectiveness. This does not make us to shy away from the issue of underperformance, but we wanted to reflect both issues of efficiency and effectiveness, and also provide corrective measures that we have put in place in 15-16 as well as in 16-17 in improving our performance. In terms of slide 37, the members will see that the number of cases that IP received increased, as reflected in the on the slide. And if you move to slide number 39, that is where it indicates the majority of cases that we received, they relate to assault. And if you move to slide 40, again, that slide indicates that there's been a slight decline in the percentage of cases that IP completed from 56% in 2013-14 to 48% in 2014 due to the various reasons my colleagues have provided. If you move to slide 41 and 42, on slide 41, this is where we indicate the extent of achievement or underachievement of our targets in terms of efficiency as well as effectiveness. In 2013, the yellow bar indicates that our indicators, they focus on efficiency, and the maroon bars indicate that it indicates IP's performance in terms of effectiveness. As you can, as the members can see, in terms of efficiency, our performance, there was a slight improvement in our performance, but in terms of efficiency, as reflected in the indicators, our performance was a little bit lower. With regard to 2014-15, we experienced, that is on slide 42, we experienced the same occurrence. Our indicators are reflected in the yellow bars, as reported in our annual report, but if you look at the maroon bars, if we were to measure our performance in terms of effectiveness,
our performance would have increased slightly. And in terms of the total number of targets that we could have achieved by the end of 2014-15, we would have improved our performance from achieving 2 out of 16 targets, as currently the state, to achieving 6 out of 16 targets. Part of the corrective measures that we have put in place is to remove the measure of efficiency as reflected in the 90 days clause. We have removed that measure in our annual performance plan for 15-16, and we have reflected it in our operational plan so that we can keep track. And the lesson we have learned is that we need to strengthen our business processes. Our business processes must be strengthened in terms of the alignment so that we can also improve on efficiency. Another corrective measure that we have put in place is to ensure that we develop and implement a turnaround strategy, particularly with regard to addressing the challenge of eradicating the case backlog. Another corrective measure that we have put in place includes revisiting the method of setting targets for provinces, given the disparities in geographical positioning of the provinces and the kind of socioeconomic challenges the population of a particular province is faced with. If we move to the rest, in fact, the rest of the slides, they indicate the number of recommendations IP forwarded to SAP as well as NPA. Of particular area to note is the high number of responses we're still waiting from the NPA in terms of the recommendations that relate to criminal convictions. We have identified the challenge, and part of the corrective measures that we have put in place is to ensure that IP signs are developed and signs a memorandum of understanding with the NPA to ensure that the NPA also attends to our cases. Also, another corrective measure is to make follow-ups with the Director for Public Prosecution, and part of the corrective measure that we are going to propose for the 16-17 financial year is to include this indicator in the medium-term strategic framework for outcomes.
Sorry to interrupt. I think it is, we need the annual report, not the great decision. The annual report.
All right, Chair. In terms of the annual report, if we move to slide number 43, the members would have noticed that IP received a high number of assault cases. If you move to, can we move back to slide 30, to slide 39? Thank you. Moving back to slide 39, IP received still a high level. High number of cases related to assault. In 13-14, we received 39, and still in 14-15, we received 3,711. Moving to the next slide. It's a provincial breakdown of cases that we received. Western Cape, followed by Western Cape, Gauteng, KZN, as well as Eastern Cape, are the four provinces that received a high number of cases. Moving to the next slide, it just provides a comparative analysis of the cases that we completed both in 2013-14 as well as in 14-15 financial year. Again, these two slides, they indicate the focus of our indicators compared to what would have been the performance if our indicators focused on efficiency. In terms of the 14-15 performance, Northern Cape managed to complete about 87% of cases. Northwest completed 90% of cases. Free State is 97% of cases, and Limpopo is 78% of cases. this is for 2013-14 financial year. Then in terms of the 14-15 financial year, we can see a decline in some of the cases completed by the provinces, particularly in the KZN, KZN Western Cape, Eastern Cape, as well as Western Cape as well as in Mpumalanga. Moving to the next slide. The next slide, again, it provides a high-level overview of our performance in 13-14 in terms of efficiency and effectiveness. Again, in 13-14, we underperformed, but if we were to look at our performance from the perspective of effectiveness, we could have provided a different picture. The same occurrence is reflected in our performance in terms of 14-15 as we move to slide 42. In terms of 14-15, our performance indicates that IP received, in terms of performance, we managed to allocate and register cases within 72 days, and our percentage is 73%. And if you're looking at other areas as reflected in our annual performance plan, there has been underperformance in terms of the indicators reflected there. But if you were to look at our performance in terms of effectiveness, we get a slightly different picture in terms of what would have been the performance should the 90 days clause was not reflected in the APP but in the operational plan of the department.
I mean, I hear the argument of 50 bars effectiveness. That was the argument, but the problem is we must do recommendations on your annual report and the outcomes that's currently there, and as well as the APP. We can't make recommendations on projections. That's problematic.
Thank you, sir. We have noted your comments. Moving to slide 43, IPs still received a high number of cases in the area related to assault, and this is followed by death as a result of police action, as well as other criminal matters. In 14-15, we received about 812 cases related to assault. Moving to the next slide. Can we please go back to slide 43? In terms of slide 43, again, those are the number of recommendations we have referred to the NPA. Although there has been a slight decline in the number of cases related to assault, it's still a concern for us that the NPA is dealing with still a high number, despite the fact that the number of cases has declined. But assault is still the leading area in which IPs dealt with in 14-15. Moving to the next slide, in terms of the outcome from the NPA regarding the recommendations that we forwarded, the NPA declined about 167 recommendations we forwarded, and there was a prosecution in 52 cases. And in terms of guilty, there was the outcome of one of the cases for which the suspect was found guilty is one, is only on one. And in terms of the number of cases that the NPA requested more information, it was about three in 14-15 compared to one in 13-14. And with regard to the number of recommendations that we're still waiting response from the NPA, the number is still high, is 765, although there's been a decline from 1,512 in 13-14 to 765. Again, we have proposed the corrective measures, but the cases that for which we are awaiting the response, the number has declined. Moving to the next slide, in terms of the recommendations that you referred to staff on disciplinary cases, assault still is leading, followed by the discharge of official firearm as well as death as a result of police action. These are the four areas in which a lot of recommendations were sent, both in 2013-14 as well as 14-15. Moving to the next slide, we can see that in terms of the outcomes of disciplinary, there's been an increase from 171 to 230, suggesting that staff has considered our recommendations and has acted on our recommendations. Then in terms of unresolved disciplinary matters, again, there's been a decline from 713 to 324, also indicating that our recommendations have received serious attention from the side of staff. With regard to the disciplinary convictions that we managed to secure, both in 1314 as well as 1415, as has been indicated in other slides, assault is the leading area in which IP has received cases, and in terms of the convictions, it remains a leading area in which a high number of convictions have been secured. With regard to 1314 performance, there were about 68 convictions. We secured 68 convictions, but the number for 1415 almost doubled to 127. And this is followed by the criminal convictions related to criminal matters, as well as the death as a result of police action and the discharge of official firearm. So this slide indicates that as much as we have underperformed, but there are areas in which some of our efforts have been taken into consideration and we can see results, as reflected in the convictions that we have secured in the year under review. In terms of, again, this slide, it just provides a comparative analysis of our of the criminal convictions that we have secured for both 1314 as well as 1415. Moving to the next slide, these are criminal acquittals. Again, it provides a comparative analysis of performance in relation to 1314 as well as 1415. Again, as indicated in the previous slide, assault still remains a remaining concern for IPED, followed by death as a result of police action and death in police custody. My colleagues will elaborate more on some of the reasons that are attributed to high number of criminal acquittals in these identified areas. Moving to the next slide, it indicates that IPED there are about 950 matters that are still in the court roll. This is in relation to 1314 performance. And if you're looking at 2014-15, the number has slightly declined to 849, and we have provided a classification of cases for which these matters relate to. I will now hand over to the program manager for program 3.
Thank you, ma'am. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, good morning. I am Ms. Morashi, as previously indicated, and I will be presenting for legal services. In terms of our performance information for 2014-15, on the indicator of the performance of contracts and service level agreements finalized within 30 working days of request, the actual achievement in 2013-14 was 53%. The planned target for 2014-15 was 90%. The actual achievement was 56%, which showed an increase of about 3%. Even though there was a deviation of minus 34%, the target was not achieved there. The percentage of legal opinions provided to the directorate within 21 working days of the request, the actual achievement for 2013-14 was 66.6%. The planned target for 2014-15 was 90%. The actual achievement for 2014-15 was 62%. There was a deviation there of 28%. The target was not achieved. The performance of policies and the percentage of policies reviewed for legal compliance within 21 working days of request, there was a 0% actual achievement in 2013-14. The planned target for 2014-15 was 90%, and the actual achievement for 2014-15 was 0%, so there's a deviation there of minus 90%. The target was not achieved there as well. The number of practice notes and directives or bulletins that were produced in the actual achievement in 2013-14 was zero. The planned target for 2014-15 was four. The actual actual achievement for 2014-15 was zero. Therefore, we have a deviation of minus four. The target was not achieved then. The percentage of legal advice provided to investigators within 24 hours, that would be the oral advice that is given to investigators. The actual achievement for 2013-14 was 30%. The planned target for 2014-15 was 90%. The actual achievement was 100%, which shows an increase of 10%. The target was exceeded in this area. In terms of the percentage of written legal advice that is provided within 48 hours to our investigators, the actual achievement for 2013-14 was 30%. The planned target 14-15 was 90%. The actual achievement for 2014-15 was 0%. There's a deviation of minus 90%. The target was not achieved. The percentage of applications for policing powers that are processed within 5 working days of request, the actual achievement for 2013-14 was 100%. The planned target for 2014-15 was 100%. The actual achievement in 2014-15 was 57%, which shows a decline there. So there is a deviation of minus 43%. The target was not achieved. The percentage of Promotion of Access to Information Act requests processed and finalized within 13 days. This was a new indicator in 2013-14. So the planned target in 2014-15 was 100%. The actual achievement for 2014-15 was 63%. The deviation from the planned target is a minus 37% because the target was not achieved there. The percentage of legal and civil litigation matters that are attended to was also a new indicator in 2013-14. The planned target for 2014-15 was 90%. The actual achievement in 2014-15 was 100%. There it shows that the target was exceeded by 10%. The percentage of legal and labor litigation matters that were attended to in 2013-14, that was a new indicator. The planned target for 2014-15 was 100%. The achievement in 2014-15 was 100%. Therefore, the target was achieved. I thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I now hand over to Program 4. Thank you.
Chairperson, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. My name is Mamudisha Modope. I'll be presenting performance for Program 4, Compliance Monitoring and Stakeholder Management. If the House may allow me, I'll just give a summary of what is entailed in this slide 59 and 60. In terms of performance of Program 4, as indicated, we had 7 targets, of which we achieved in 2 that relates to the number of reports complied. And then, in terms of non-achievement, it was mainly in the area of community outreach, whereby that target was not achieved due to the fact that we don't have committed or dedicated personnel in the provinces to undertake this activity. But we did overachieve or exceed the target in terms of our stakeholder engagement. In total, we had 206 stakeholder engagement as compared to a target of 160. In summary, that is the performance of Program 4 without going into the statistics of individual targets. I will hand over to our SPC. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and members. In closing here, we intend to improve in performance, especially realization of the IPIT's mandate through the achievement of our strategic goals, strategic objectives, and 10 targets at the department. Lastly, we are committed to put corrective measures for purpose of performance improvements, and we have listed all of them, but I won't go through all of them. We'll elaborate on all of those particular measures as and when we engage with honorable members and service.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Members, we will now go to questions. Yeah, I think, thank you for the report. I think if we look at the annual report, I think it's in a certain sense, on page 108, I mean, the audit committee indicates that there were serious problems in certain areas, but since the acting ED came in, we addressed those problems. So as a committee, we welcome that. But the major issue for us at this stage is the AG's report. And we need to see movement. And maybe the first question from my side will focus on that. Now, I've already made a comment to the fact that the AG's indicated the following, that the IPAT submitted financial statements for auditing that contained material misstatements. And then the IPAT submitted annual performance reports for auditing that contained material misstatements, and also in terms of your performance report. And the root cause, the AG's indicated, and I've referred to that, is the issue of inadequate skills. And that's a major concern. Misstatements, ineffective leadership in that unit. And then compliance with legislation, internal controls is also a problem. So what I want to know, I've already referred to certain areas of assistance the department can get, but I'm not convinced by what was provided in the submission. We want to have clear commitments. What are you going to do? If you do not have the staff, maybe you must ask for secondments, maybe from the Accountant General. But we have to sort out the material statements. We can't go the next year. The committee is not going to accept it. Because linked to that is the question of performance, and we did an analysis of the three departments. In the case of SAPS, there was no performance bonuses paid to any staff. So the 200,000 staff of SAPS, no performance bonuses, so 0%. In the case of the civilian secretariat, 14% of the staff received performance bonuses, 14%. We will still want to know how that happened. If we look at the report and the AG's comments that we received. But in your case, at the ED, 42.2% of your staff received performance bonuses. 42.2%. Now, my argument is the following, and I want your comments on it. If a department's got a clean audit, no material issues, you reach all your targets, I've got no problem. But if you've got material misstatements, and I also want to know if anybody in your financial division got performance bonuses, because that's highly problematic. If you achieve all your targets, if you've got a clean audit, no problems. But you've got 42.2% of your staff received performance bonuses. That is not acceptable, because it doesn't tally with the performance and the AG's comments. If the AG's comments was clean, it's fine. We understand staff must be given the necessary. So we need a new policy on that. A new policy. So we need to have comments on that. That's my two questions. Honorable Mulabati.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. How many questions?
As many as you like.
Oh, thanks.
For the please,
thank you very much, Chairperson. My first question, how far are you with the case of City Forum building? And when do you expect to finalize it? When do you expect to have it finalized? My next one is regarding the investigation of the National Commissioner on the TPing of General Lamour. you said the NDPP declined to prosecute. Does it mean it's the end of the story, or what is going to happen from there? My third one, in the Salon Commission report, do you have police officials who are being investigated without giving the merits of the cases? What is the status, if they are, what is the status of the investigations without giving the merits? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In slide 27, will you please explain whether the target of 2% of staff complement consisting of people with disabilities is not too low? My second question, in slide 54, why there was a huge under expenditure under investigation advisory service sub program? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mula. Honorable Mbele.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's just three questions from me at this point. The first question relates to the information provided in slide 19. It's point C, and it's just it relates to there was a spate of media reports over the course of maybe a week or so, just more than a month ago, about the suspension and internal action taken against three staff members in the IPET. I mean, point C there mentions two, but I believe the third one, in terms of the Labour Court's ruling, was the spokesperson. Could you please correct me if I've got that detail wrong? And the picture that was painted at the time, at least in terms of the media reports, was that it looked like alleged what was framed as alleged purging of McBride loyalists, and that was cause for concern because internal stability and uncertainty of that nature would obviously compromise the functioning of the IPED in carrying out its mandate and ultimately affects the members of the public who rely on it to get justice for police misconduct and criminality. So my first question is just to ask from the acting director to give clarity and assurance to the committee that what was reported was not unsavory in terms of how it was characterized, and that the integrity of the IPED in acting independently and focusing on its core mandates is not compromised, as well as the status updates of where those HR processes are at, please. My second question is from slide, or springboards from slide 37, which shows the increase in the number of cases received from the 13-14 and the 14-15 financial years. Now, that intake is an increase of about 134, if I count correctly. And yet, in many of the indicators under Program 2, we saw declines in the meeting of targets within the time frames. I understand the time frame issues in terms of capacity, and that'll be separate here. But if we've got that very, what I would call a small marginal increase in the case intake, but those declines in the meeting of the targets in various indicators, I'd like a bit of explanation around that, because the simple comments given of capacity constraints does not, to me, give adequate explanation. Either that says there was reduced capacity this year, we had a fairly small case intake increase, but the meeting of targets went down. So either was it reduced capacity, or does it speak to the something about the qualitative nature of the investigations, that so many more of them took more time and therefore weren't able to be completed within the time frame. So just an explanation of why, in spite of an increase of 130 odd cases in the financial year, the meeting of targets in those indicators went down. And then lastly, Chairperson, my last question comes from slide 39, where we're seeing the same picture we saw last year about the large majority of cases received being for alleged assault. And I'm just interested to get a more qualitative insight into these figures. Does the team have the information of the environments in which these assaults incidents and reports come from? And I'm not talking about a provincial breakdown, because I think we have that in the tables. It's about, are we looking at alleged assaults happening, for example, in public order policing, so in the course of public unrest management? Are we looking mostly at cases of, there's been unlawful arrest and somebody resists and therefore the police retaliates? What is the analysis that says why this is so high, where it's happening, and if you have that analysis, do you feed that to the SAPs? Because they obviously need to feed that to their commanders to say, listen, we're getting all these assaults, accusations in the course of these kind of operations or in the course of these environments, and that's where we need to focus remedial action so that we bring that down.
Thank you, Jim. Chair, I want to start of what you also said, that 42.4% of the staff got some performance bonuses. But if you look at the performance indicators of the 30 that has been presented here today, 22 were underperformed. If you look at the investigation part, which is actually the most important one, 13 of the 15 performance indicators are totally underperformed. In the legal department, 7 out of the 10 is underperformed. So I agree with you. I would like to have a thorough explanation. How can performance bonuses be paid out if there's totally underperformance in the department itself? Further, Chairperson, I also want to refer to slide number 11 on the unauthorized expenditure. It was 891,000 rand, and then on slide number 17, the explanation it gives is that the reported amount in our books is made up of the prior over-expenditure by program 2-3 financial years 2008 and 9 and 2005 and 6. I don't understand that. Can I have an explanation on that, please? We're talking about almost 10 years ago. But maybe I can get the answer there. Chairperson, further, I also want to say that if you, for instance, look and they say the reason for the underperformance in the investigation is actually a lack of capacity, but according to the annual report on page 114, on the investigation part, we have 221 employees out of the 268. So there is a shortage of 47. But what I can't understand, Chairperson, if you look at slide number 44, you will see that it says the outcome from the National Prosecuting Authority, and for 2014-2015, prosecutions 52. So 52 cases from the NPA went for prosecution. There was only one guilty. What's wrong? Besides the underperformance, it seems the investigations are very poor. Because of 52 prosecutions, there's only one guilty. So I'd like to have an explanation as far as that is concerned. Even also if you link that to slides number 48 and 49, we see that in slide 48, the criminal convictions. Then you have some figures there for the different actions. But if you add that, because that is the convictions, and if you compare it to the acquittals, then the figures doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense at all. So can we please get an explanation from that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members, for round one, acting ED, and your team.
Thanks, Chairperson, and honorable members. I think program managers and acting program managers, they will zoom in into the questions relating to their programs. But in respect of the concerns of the chairperson there, as far as the AGSA's comments with regards to our annual financial statements, I think we'll take your advice, Chairperson, because we can't allow the situations to continue as it is. But we'll going back and consider those particular options that you have alluded to previously in respect of roping in National Treasury to come and assist. If not, then we'll consider the external consultants to come and assist the department. But one of the factors there, it was the absence of the director internal audits. But as Mr. Sateri has indicated, that we made that particular appointment by the 1st of May, March this year. That particular person is there, and even in respect of capacitating and developing the whole staff members within internal audit, because now they are fully capacitated, and we have made sure that we have prioritized internal audit as far as our training plan for this for this particular financial year is concerned. And they have already started attending those particular trainings that were identified. In respect of the case, okay, Honorable Member Nemolevati, the Lamour tipping by the National Commissioner case, that was investigated. We investigated, then we sent that particular docket to the NDPP for decision. The NDPP declined to prosecute, and apparently, I haven't seen that particular outcome myself, but there was a mention there that there is an element of departmental steps that can be pursued by the department, hence that particular matter was referred to the minister to proceed with the department on that particular case. And in respect of the Palam,
sorry, Acting ED, the honourable member just wants to follow up on that specific one.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Departmental steps on who?
Okay, it must be departmental steps on the National Commissioner. Then on the Falam Commission there, the SAPS members investigated, I think, the 34 killing of the minors there. All the cases there relates to, those are the cases against SAPS members who were operating, were in operation on that particular day. So the investigation is still continuing. We have engaged the NGPP in respect of giving them all those particular documents to have a look at them and give the investigators further instructions or directives or instructions. And it's a combined investigation from our investigators and the advocates from the NDPP's office. But there were also recommendations in respect of individual SAPS members as far as the Falam findings and recommendations are concerned. And we are also looking at those particular matters, but I won't even go into detail as far as those particular matters are concerned. The issue in respect of the Honorable Mbele, the issue with regards to the three members who took the department to the labor courts, it was in relation to their precautionary transfer, not suspension. We have two options there as far as the SMS handbook is concerned. It's either you suspend a person, you precautionary suspend, or you opt for a precautionary transfer of that particular person. So we opted for those, then they challenged it, it went to court. There was a court ruling on the 15th of last month that there was nothing wrong that the acting ED was doing in respect of that particular transfer. So they were ordered to go back to where they were supposed to have reported, and they have reported. So it will be for a period of 60 months, but during that period of 60 months, the department will have had to finalize our departmental investigations, because that in itself is informed by the departmental steps that are taken against a particular person because of their conduct. But as a department, we are governed by the Public Service Act, the Public Service Regulations, the Code of Conduct within the Public Service, as well as the SMS handbook. So whatever that we are doing as a department, we do it in line with those particular prescripts. So as that with regards to this particular matter, the integrity of the department that is not being compromised, it will never be compromised. As well, since or because we do have a dedicated, committed staff members within the department from level 1 to 12 up until the senior managers. The institution is not about one person. The person will come and go, but the institution will remain. Kamayani will come to the IP. Tomorrow he won't be there, but the IP will still remain. So that's the bottom line, and that's my message to all staff members within the department. If you are not prepared to work, then just step aside, then we'll look in people who are capable and willing to come and provide the service delivery to the people of this country. And that's what we are doing. If you are a senior manager there, then you align yourself to a particular person, then we won't be bothered or we won't be distracted by yourself. But even the junior staff member who will come into that particular space, you even come there and perform. And in most of the cases, I've stayed days living in our previous appearance to the standard committee. These junior staff members who were appointed in those particular acting positions, they are doing wonders, better than their previous supervisors. Thanks.
Mr. Kobayashi, just one thing. I think maybe the program, one person will deal with it, but who signed off on that 42% bonuses?
Okay. Unfortunately, we didn't even want to raise this particular issue as and when we started with the presentation. All of us sitting here around this particular table and dealing with this presentation for 2014-15, we were not there as head office senior managers. Most of us, we were appointed on the 1st of April this year or the latest 1st of March, but we can't come with excuses that we are not there and the performance is bad and all of those things. But going forward, honorable members and chairperson, you just have to judge us with the performance of this particular financial year as this particular team. I'm saying this because you zoom in into the annual report itself for the Free State Provincial Office there for the whole period 2014-15 that I was there for the whole year, that you see consistent achievement of all the targets as far as the particular province is concerned. But in respect of the performance for the whole IP signing off, it was the previous, it was the suspended executive director who signed off on that particular submission for the payment. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Let's go to the other programs. Honorable Groenewald wants to do a follow-up on that issue.
Chairperson, yes. Now we must get something quite clear here. I know it's acting and everything. It's not an excuse to say, but we only started in April. The people are here to account to Parliament. And if you're in that position, then you account. You cannot come here to Parliament, to the Portfolio Committee, and say, well, sorry, but I was only acting from 1st of April. It's not acceptable. Because then you're not capable of acting in the first place. Let me be quite frank about this now.
Right, let's go to the programs, responses on the questions from the honorable members.
I don't know, honorable member, to get your question clear, you said the target of 2% is too low. Huh? What was the question? Memo Levati, sorry. Sorry, apologies. In terms of the 42.2% of people who received performance bonuses, what I'd like to basically remind the Honorable Committee is that in terms of the performance bonuses, which are reflected on the annual report, those performance bonuses are for 13 and 14. So for the previous financial year of which you are here to present on, which is 14 and 15, the performance bonuses have not yet been paid. So in terms of the bonuses which appeared for 13 and 14, those ones which reflect on the payments have not been paid. For 14 and 15, they have not been paid. For 13 and 14, that's the 42% that you are referring to. So I don't know, because we are here to report for the 14 and 15 and not for 13 and 14. Thank you.
Other responses?
Thank you, Chair. Responses in relation to Program 2. There was a question relating to cases that were received per Section 28 and 29 for 2013-2014. They wanted to know the whether...
I'm sorry to interrupt. I made previously rulings regarding conduct at portfolio committee meetings. regarding when is formal tea times and when is really I don't want to single out the department also yesterday, but really but let's continue.
Thank you, sir. In addition to cases of assault, as to whether maybe they emanate from the certain section of the police, there was no study conducted on that, as to who are involved in more cases of assault from the police division. So that study was not conducted, so we can make assumptions now because it was never to be conducted. But now, as we're moving forward, we are learning, we can start to categorize as to from which division or from which maybe race are this assault taking place by the police. But thus far, there was no study conducted in this regard. The question on the outcome from NPA, where we had under guilty 0 for 2013 and 1 for 2014-2015, and comparing that to slide 48, criminal convictions for 2013-14, 2014-15, we as a government engaged extensively on these two slides.
Sorry to interrupt you. Sorry. I must come back to you on one issue because it's very important. Because if you before the portfolio committee, you must give the correct information. Mr. Sibanyoni, you in response to a question from one of the members, you've indicated that 42.2% was for the year 2013-14. Did you say that? Well, in terms of your annual report that was tabled by your accounting office in Parliament, it says 14-15. So who should we believe?
In terms of performance, what we do is we report on the information for the previous financial year. So if you repeat for the previous financial year, currently the department is busy dealing with performance for 14 and 15.
So that is wrong. This has been wrong. Why is it wrong? Accounting officer, you know, really, then you will have to look at this, take the necessary steps if this is incorrect, because this was tabled and signed off.
What are you doing?
No, I'm not going to go now into this. I mean, you must come prepared to this committee, not ask me what's the question or the pages. We'll have to see, but I just want to voice my serious concern about this. Let's go to that gentleman.
Thank you, sir. I was saying, comparing slide 44 and slide 48, at the department, we looked at these two slides. On slide 44, particularly the question of guilty there, where it is just 1-1-1, the explanation that we received from Program 4 manager, because this is actually under Program 4, was that the report on a calendar year. So during the time when this was reported, they received only one case from the provinces. And then on slide 48, this is now the actual financial year report where we have this conviction for the period 13-14 and the period 14-15. These are the actual cases that took place during those financial years. They were not a calendar calculation. These are the actual things that happened there. And then indeed, we do have convictions here. And quite the satisfactory in terms of what we got for this financial year.
Sorry, Chair. It seems there's quite a long confusion on the period we are talking about here. Can I get that explanation again for 44? Is it for this financial year? Because on this draft it says 2014-2015, 1. If you say it's actually for this financial year we're in at the moment, well, then you're reporting wrongly to incorrectly to Parliament.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I just indicated, we wanted to understand what is this one for. Then we asked the program for who is responsible for this information. So maybe that she's here, she can give a better explanation.
Now at this stage, I'm going to break for tea, members, for 10, 15 minutes. We give an opportunity to the acting ED to talk to these members and get their act together, and then we'll resume in the next.